Well, last week we talked about
the two spies and
Rahab,
the hope in the window.
And later we'll see how that came to, how that ended, and how that came to fruition. Now remember that Rahab told the spies to wait for 3 days before they left their hiding place and went back. And this they proceeded to do, as we find in Joshua chapter 2, verse 22. It says, they departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days. Now remember that the people of Israel were supposed to have started for the Jordan, the cross, in 3 days' time. But they had to wait because the spies were still gone. And they remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned, and they came down from the hill country, and they crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. Now, these two spies had crossed over in the promised land already. That's what it said. They had crossed the Jordan already because they had been in Jericho. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they related to him. They reported to him. They related to him all that had happened to them. And notice what they said to Joshua. Surely the Lord, Yahweh, has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. They have become afraid of them. So now we're at the point in the third chapter of Joshua. When Joshua and the rest of God's people are now ready to cross the Jordan River. And once again, God reminds Joshua that just as I was with Moses, I will be with you, preparing to cross over. What an interesting concept. What an interesting concept for us, preparing to cross over. So let's look at this text, Joshua 3, and see what that means for us, to cross over. I think one of the first things we learn here is Yahweh, that God, that the Lord God does not leave his people in the dark. He does not leave them to flounder around and just go willy-nilly. Yahweh makes known his will, that is, what he wants them to do, what he wants done. He's not an unknown God. The children of Israel, the Israelites here, could know him. And many did know him. But even today, he's not an unknown God. That's the whole gist of what Paul was talking about in Acts 17 and in Acts 18. When Paul gave his sermon on Mars Hill. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Paul was telling the Greeks, was telling them, I'm proclaiming to you that unknown God. That he is not unknown, but that you can know him. And Paul went on to explain that. And then in Acts 18 we find that Paul's in Corinth and preaching the same thing. God clearly revealed himself to the people of Israel. God clearly revealed his will to Joshua. He did not leave him in the dark. Yes, he was to lead his people. But he didn't leave him in the dark without knowing what to do. God laid it out for him. What it says here in Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. So they didn't cross immediately. But they got up early in the morning and they all set out. Now we're talking not just about a few people. We're talking close to 3 million people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And all their animals too? All their livestock and that? Going with them. And they set out from Shittim, which was about 6 miles, not very far, to the Jordan. And they came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. Now this is important. Why they lodged there? Why didn't they immediately cross? Because they yet were not prepared. Why were they not prepared? Because God had not revealed his will to them yet. They needed to be prepared before they could cross over. And you see how that relates to us today in the church? Because one day we will cross over from this world to eternity. But we better be prepared to cross over. And that's the significance of the 3 days. Now this is 3 more days. After the spies, it meant 3 days away. Verse 2, it says, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it, the ark, a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's a little over half a mile. Do not come near it. Notice what it said. Do not come near it that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. So God clearly revealed his will to Joshua. There are some things that we see here that's not in the text. But it's obviously that the officers would not go out and tell the people if they hadn't been told to do so. And what they say to the people? How did they know that? Because Joshua told them. Well, how did Joshua know to tell them to do those things? God. God told them what he wanted them to do. Joshua told the leaders of the people of God's will. These officers, the leaders, they then told the people. Do you see what we have here? Think about it. It's like a chain of command. Who's at the top?
God.
God's at the top. Then Joshua. In place of Moses. And then who? The officers, the leaders of the tribes, the leaders of the people. And then you have the people. Does God have a chain of command today?
Absolutely.
What's that chain? Who's the head?
God.
Christ is. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, both on earth and in heaven. He said, it's mine. It's been given to me. But then Jesus, he passed that on, didn't he? To who? To the apostles. And he told them to do what? To carry it on. To do these things. We have still have a chain of command today in the church. And I dare say that many are forgetting that. That there's a chain of command in the church. That no man heads the church. Christ heads the church. He is the head of the church. It's His. So God's still revealing His will to people today. How did He reveal it to them? And many people say He didn't, but He still doesn't. But I believe He did and does. He revealed that will propositionally. What do I mean by that? It means He spoke to Joshua. He spoke to the leaders and then the people. He spoke through His word. And we know through the scriptures, He spoke through the prophets. Paul tells us in Hebrews, last of all, He has spoken through who? His Son. I like what Brother Willard Winter said about this years ago in capturing this. He said, He, God, has given all mankind His will. As they seek to know what is expected of them in their effort to reach an upper and better kingdom. Is that not what we are striving to do? That's what we're striving to prepare to cross over. Talk a little about that this morning. It's being prepared. So He gives them a plan. God does. Yahweh gives them the plan for moving on. For crossing over. The people were to follow. behind the Ark of the Covenant. The officers at the end. What's the significance of 3 days? Again, you have to think in scriptures what that means. It's a time of transition. At the end of 3 days, something is going to happen. Something new is going to happen. A transition is going to take place. A change is going to take place. That's the significance of this. And now God says, okay, you're ready. Now move. And here's the plan, God says. Can you imagine if God hadn't spoken to them, what they would have done? God said, cross the Jordan. Okay, 3 million people. Here we go. Now we learn later, the Jordan's at the flood stage. Can you imagine what the people would do if God hadn't revealed his will to them, the plan? And they just thought it on their own. They come to the Jordan. They see the Jordan at the flood stage. What? No way. No, thank you. If they're doing, thinking that on their own? No. So God says, here's what's going to happen. You're going to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark, what the leader said, the Levitical priest would carry it. Now, how did Joshua and the leaders telling the people this, how did they know that? That they were supposed to do that? They just think that on their own? No. God told them how he wanted it done. They were to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant. They were to keep themselves over half a mile away from it. But the Levitical priests were to carry it. Now, normally, the priests wouldn't carry it. Normally, if you remember your Old Testament history, the Levites of Kohath, the clan of Kohath, of the tribe of Levi, were the ones that took care of the ark. They were the ones that carried it. However, on special occasions, the Levitical priests, the priests themselves, would do so. This was such an occasion. It's a special occasion. And remember this. All priests are Levites. However, all Levites are not priests. Why is that? What tribe? Or who, I should say, what clan? Where did the priests come from? We know they come from the tribe of Levi, but from where?
From Aaron.
From Aaron. From Aaron's side. But yet they're all Levites. But not all Levites are priests, because not all of the tribe of Levi came from Aaron's side. Now this time, the priests are to carry the ark. And it's a special occasion. Why is it a special occasion? Because it's a matter of transition. It's a matter of change. It's a matter of the people now are going into the promised land. And the rest of the people were to stay far back from them. So what's the significance of this? Why would God have them do this? Because God, Yahweh, was leading them forward. What did the ark signify? Was the ark God himself? No. But what did the ark signify? It represented and signified his presence with them. Brother James Smith says concerning this, the rationale for letting the Lord lead is as valid for the believer today as it was for the Israelites then. Why did God do it that way? Look at what it says in verse 4. Do not come near it, the ark, that you may know the way by which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. So it's as if what God, what Yahweh is saying, what the Lord God is saying, people, my people, I'm going to lead out. The priest will carry the ark. My presence is going before you because you haven't passed this way before. But I'm leading the way. So you're safe. So you'll be all right. Well, how do we relate that to today? Does he not lead us? He's leading us before we cross over. He's leading us to that point where we can cross over. But more than that, he is with us all the way. Now notice what Joshua says next. Verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, at the end of those 3 days, for tomorrow the Lord, Yahweh, will do wonders among you. In the Hebrew, that is things that you have never, that you have not seen before. Now, how did Joshua know that? He didn't know what God was going, what Yahweh was going to do. He just knew that God was going to do some astounding things before the people.
Not when God performs work.
But notice what, yes, but notice what Joshua said to the people. And this is all in the process of preparing to cross over. Consecrate yourselves. Say what? I thought we were going into the promised land. You want us to do what? Consecrate yourselves. I believe Brother Willard Winter captures the meaning of this the best when he says, what this means is, this was turning the heart to God in faith and trust in His promise and in willing obedience to His commandments. It's preparing one. See, preparing to cross over. Joshua said before they can cross over into the promised land, what God has told them and what Joshua's telling the people is, in that preparation, you need to consecrate yourselves. In order to obey me, in order to follow me, you have to have the right frame of mind. You have to have the right mindset. Your heart has to be right before you can cross over. That's why Joshua told them that. You have to be spiritually prepared. See, that's why it's so important what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. To be renewed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the significance of this. Because you see, if God's people were not spiritually prepared, if they were not prepared in heart and mind, they couldn't cross over. Because if they weren't prepared in heart and mind, They didn't have the right mindset. And their heart wasn't right about it. When they got, even though God was leading out with the ark, when they got to the Jordan, because it tells us at the end of the text that it was at flood stage,
all the animals would have gone nuts.
Not only that, but the people.
And the people too.
They would have went there, saw the Jordan, the stage it was, and said, "No way! We're not going to do this! Are you kidding?"
You're going to have a muzzle on every one of them.
Excuse me. So what Joshua is telling them, and what God is telling them through Joshua, is that you not only have to prepare yourself physically to move, and you're physically going to move, but you have to prepare yourself spiritually. You have to prepare yourself, your mindset. It has to be right. And it has to be centered on Him. That's the importance of this. He said, Brother Winter says, only in such a frame of heart and mind would Israel be prepared for God's leading them into the land of promise. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same thing for us. If we're not prepared in our mindset, in that renewing of the mind that Paul talks about, if we're not prepared spiritually, we're not going to be prepared to cross over. And when it gets to that time for us to cross over our Jordan, we won't be ready. That's the significance of what we were talking about this morning with the when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven and the 10 virgins and the 5 not being ready because He was delaying His coming. The bridegroom was. Well, we can think about that in relationship to ourselves and the church today. Because He's delaying His coming. But we better be prepared. Because He is coming again. We just don't know when. But many people ought to be thankful that He is delaying His coming. So they can get prepared. So now Joshua gives further instructions to the priest. He says, pick up the ark and move out. What do they do? Joshua, are you sure about this? You sure? You sure now? Maybe we better not. No. They immediately obeyed. Why? Because they had consecrated themselves. At this time, they had the right mindset. Their heart was right. And now notice, verses 7 through 8, God gives Joshua further instructions. And Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. They did what they were supposed to do. Now notice this. Now the Lord said to Joshua, This day, I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. He reminded Joshua that again. He said, you shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And notice that. God said, the priests carrying the Ark, they're going to go in the water. They're going to go in the Jordan. And then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here. Now notice what Joshua says. Come here, people. Come here, my people. Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Come here and hear Yahweh. Joshua's saying, God's got something to say to you. Yahweh's got something to say to you. Come and hear this. Now notice what he says. This is the crossing over. Joshua said, By this you shall know that the living God, notice what he says here, that the living God, he's not an unknown God, he's not some idol. He says, the living God is among you. And that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. All the ites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Now notice what Joshua says here. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Not just, Joshua was telling them, he's the living God, but he's not God just of this, of you, not God just of this area, not the God of just the crossing over the Jordan in the promised land. He said, Joshua tells him, he is the Lord, he is the God of all the earth. It's crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. His presence is going before them. That's the significance of the ark. And now notice what he says. Now then, take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. Point them out. Take them out. Now notice what he says. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord, and he repeats it again, the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. Now we notice what happened here. Brother Mark Scott brings out this, where we can see this picture, this, and see this in context. He says the Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee in the north, which is 654 feet below sea level. And it goes from the Sea of Galilee in the north south for 70 miles to the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below sea level. It said the change in elevation is significant, especially with the river at flood stage. And we know from reading the text that the crossing of the Jordan was opposite Jericho. Now, this Adam near Sarathan that is mentioned here, the waters would be heaped up 15 miles north. Get that? 15 miles north. But why that broad, the 15 miles in that broad? Because that would, God knew how much would be needed for all those people. 3 million people and all their livestock to cross over? God knew that. And that's what would be needed for them to cross over. Now, as Brother Smith observes the crossing here, he said this would lead to experiential knowledge of two key propositions of faith. First, what happened at the river would prove that the living God was among the people. That's what Joshua said. The living God of all the earth. Second, the river crossing will be a pledge that all the Ites, the seven ethnic groups which occupied Canaan, would be dispossessed by the Israelites, by the children of Israel. Now notice what happens when they get to the Jordan River. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, in other words, see, they obeyed God. They did what he told them to. And when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks all the days of harvest. The waters which were flowing down from above, remember what I read to you there, were flowing down from above, from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, were flowing down from above, stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam. And we say Adam. The city that is beside Zarethan, about 15 miles away. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of the Araba, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. As soon as they put their feet in the Jordan River, God goes, woo-hoo! And they walked in the midst of it. And they stayed there. They stayed there while all those people crossed over. Stood on firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground. Now that's over 3 million people. And all their livestock. Until all the nation. Notice, this is the first time in the Hebrew that the children of Israel are called a nation. Until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now, God may have used natural means. People would say, oh, that was just a natural thing. And, you know, that happens sometimes. And they recorded that, the Jordan has been a flood stage and at various times in history, and how some things like this have happened, that the Jordan River's been dammed or whatever. Well, as Brother Smith said, God may have used natural means to produce that path across the river. But the timing of that action, that the event be regarded as thoroughly supernatural, it's the timing. And how was Joshua magnified before the people? You think the people didn't remember what God did at the Red Sea with Moses? Now he's doing the same thing with Joshua.
By his word, which he relayed.
It signified this, that God, Yahweh, the Almighty Creator, He is the one who can gather the waters together. He is the one who can separate them. Because He's a living God. And He does that by His unmatched power. So the people are victorious in the crossing. Just as the generation before them had crossed the Red Sea, so they crossed over the Jordan River. By what means? By their own doing? No. By God's doing, by Yahweh's doing. But why did they cross the Jordan River that way? Because they were obedient. They had consecrated themselves. They had the right mindset. Their heart was right. This time, they didn't make any excuses. They didn't say, we can't do it. They believed. And they crossed over. Because God had prepared them. He had prepared the way. And they had consecrated themselves. That's a very important lesson for us today in this. Because brothers and sisters, we are all eventually going to cross over. But the issue is, do we have the right mindset? Do we have that? Are we continuing that renewing of the mind? We are continuing our spiritual transformation. See, He's prepared the way, has He not? Through His Son. Through Him. And He gave the way. He gave the plan. But we also have to be obedient to that, do we not? Because you see, if we're not, when it comes our time to cross over, we're not going to be prepared. And many people, I'm afraid, many people, when it comes their time to cross over, they're not going to be prepared. Just as that, those five foolish virgins were not prepared. So many people will be that way as well. We dare not be find ourselves to where we're at our point of crossing over of the Jordan, and we can't cross over because we haven't been prepared. What a lesson there is for us in that. Why? And they do it because they listen to God. They will be. They let Him lead the way. That's the same way in our lives. We need to let Him lead the way. And He does it through this. And He does it to those, the leaders of His church, Christ's church. He wants us to be prepared, just as the children of Israel were then, to cross over. And we, none of us know when that time may come. But we need to be prepared for it. Let's stand and word prayer. Father God, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Father, that we can come, and we have the privilege, we have the freedom to come to worship You in spirit and in truth in Your Son. Oh Lord, may we think of these things, Father. May we indeed be prepared when that comes our time to cross over. For we know, Father, that all of us will sometime, will someday come to that point. May we strive to be obedient, Lord, and to follow Your way. Follow the way of Your Son that He has given us in Your Word. So indeed that we are ready when that time comes. Be with us, Father, now as we go to our homes. Guide and direct us throughout this week. Lead us to those, Father, who need to hear these things, who need to have the saving knowledge that can only come through Your Word. Praise You and thank You for the many blessings You've given us, blessing of life. And the greatest blessing of all is that of eternal life that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all these things. Amen. Mm-hmm.